I'm just going to run to the bathroom. Will you save my place?
Sure.
No, you will not.
Excuse me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you raised in a household with no consequences?
It'll just be a second.
Oh, if onlys and justs were candies and nuts, then every day would be earned to donk fest.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, we are back, baby! Ethan and Weiss here with you once again after, what, like a three-week hiatus. We got a lot to talk about. We got trades, we got draft talk, we got Odell Beckham talk as per usual. Before we get into everything, you know the drill. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We are everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. Smash that subscribe button. It's a long off season. We're going to be bringing you the podcast. We're back. We're excited to be back. We got to finish the housekeeping. Twitter, follow us. Follow me, Ethan GSN. Follow Weiss, NYG Daily. Follow the blog at Gotham SN. Follow us, subscribe. Let's get into it. Weiss, hello, how are you?
Ethan, how are you, my man?
I've been better.
keeping it real?
I think all of Giants Twitter has been better if we're keeping it 100.
We got to keep it real in this episode, man.
Like, really real. The realest real. It's ever been.
That's going to be the key word this offseason. Let's keep it real.
Let's keep it real. Yes. All right, a lot to get into. Let's start with some of the lighter stuff. We'll get into the draft takes and everything later. Let's start with what broke the end of last week, I guess, when I was on vacation. The Odell Beckham video.
Yes.
Where, and you correct me if I'm wrong on the details, the video's a week old. He was in France. I know he was touring around with his mama. They were at some soccer games. He was hanging out with Ronaldo. Ronaldo showed him his Bugatti. It was sick.
Yes. Living the life.
Living the life of a superstar and doing dumb superstar shit. Because let me tell you, our boy Ryan Dizdier bumped into Odell a few weeks ago at some event out in L.A. Ryan couldn't get within 5 feet of Odell. Barely got a handshake. And this Instagram floozy is allowed in this hotel room with her cell phone. If I'm Odell, no one is allowed within 20 feet of me with a cell phone. So let's just throw that out there. Dumb. Because you're a superstar, you got to know who you're surrounding yourself with. Now, that being said, the video had him eating a Pizza Hut pizza with, dude, you're from New York, be better than that. Accompanied by a few lines of cocaine next to said Pizza Hut pizza. now, the video didn't show him doing any drugs. Showed him holding something that may have been a joint that someone said was pizza crust.
I think the girl said it was pizza crust.
The girl said it was pizza crust. Good for her after blowing up her mans like that for coming to his defense.
But who knows what to believe, because he said it's old video. She said it's from March 8th.
Right. Now
she says he wasn't doing anything.
Right.
You know, it's all over the place.
It's like he said, she said. Now there's two ways to look at it. One, you can look at his wrists, and someone pointed out that, like, his sleeve didn't go all the way down to his wrists like it is now.
Someone examined Odell Beckham's tattoos, yes.
Dude, it got even worse. You know this guy, Real Talk NYG or whatever the fuck his name is?
I don't know, man.
Whatever. This guy is the wet blanket of Twitter wet blankets. This guy stinks. He stinks out loud. He went so far as to analyze the ID card that the girl was lining up the cocaine with, identified that it was an up-to-date France ID card, hence this video was new. Now, he happened to be right. He also happens to be an asshole. The two are not related. Anyway, let's get into the Odell takes. I don't think this matters at all.
Come on.
Listen, the optics are bad, but if you don't think that one over, I'll throw out, I'll be, this is being kind. If you don't think over 50% of NFL athletes, I'll even go as far as saying over 70% of NFL athletes are smoking weed during the off season, even during the season, because their bodies are so in shape. Marijuana, THC, is fat soluble, so it stays in your system way longer than something like cocaine does. They are all smoking weed to relax, to help their bodies recover, just to take some stress off. Now, Odell has never failed a drug test in his life. Will he? You can bet your ass he's going to be tested way more over the coming weeks and season. Do I think
there's gonna be a lot of white envelopes on his desk or on his locker?
100%, more so than Steve Weatherford. Now,
Yeah.
Do I think he did drugs? No. Are the optics bad? The optics are always bad when it comes to this guy because he just, listen, he just can't figure it out for some reason. You know, it gets to the point where I love the man. I'm going to defend him till I die. You just need to understand who you're surrounding yourself with and just be smarter. That's it.
Right.
I think he's going to pass every drug test. I don't think this is, and I know we disagree on this because we spoke about it, and I'll let you speak after. I don't think this has any impact on his contract negotiations. I don't think it has any impact on how much money he's going to make. And I think if the Giants are dumb enough to try to use this as leverage in any sort of manner, he's just going to end up holding out, and it's going to hurt the Giants more than it's going to hurt him in the long run. So is this being blown out of proportion? Yes, because people just want to use this as a witch hunt. Did he put himself...
It's Odell, so everything
exactly,
is...
Exactly. Yeah. Did he put himself in a bad situation? Yeah, 100%, obviously. He let this girl film him unknowingly sitting next to a pile of cocaine. So, Listen, just be smarter. I think he's going to pass all drug tests. I don't think this is going to have any impact on his negotiations, and we can all move on to the more important, aspects of this offseason.
Well, here's the thing. You make some valid points, but I think you're also doing a little swiping under the rug with this guy.
Let me hear it.
Here's my take on it. All right. When I first saw it, I didn't think it was a big deal. It was like I saw a 2-second version of it, and
me too.
I'm just like, you know, he's not doing, you know, I don't think he's doing cocaine.
Off that girl to his friend. I mean, what more could you want in a teammate? Come on.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Odell. Odell's a very, like, I don't know Odell personally, but just by, you know, judging him off his Instagram and who his friends are, Odell seems like a very likable guy. Like, he seems like a guy that doesn't have an ego. And that's why people like Cristiano Ronaldo and Drake and DJ Khaled and all these other celebrities that hang out with him have fun with him, because he's not an ego guy. He's just a guy looking to have fun.
Yep.
You know, he's a 25-year-old.
He's happy-go-lucky.
You know, what's his net worth? Do you think he's worth like $50 million, going to be maybe $100 million in the next couple of years?
Oh, dude, probably he's more. His Nike endorsement alone is worth like 20-something.
Right. I mean, he's having a time of his life. But I just think Odell is living the lifestyle of a rock star, rap artist, hip-hop artist, where these things are okay. But as an NFL, as a professional athlete, it's not going to work. You can't be in that situation. You got to be smarter than that.
Agree.
Now, this was like, you, like, even if you're not doing the cocaine, you can't allow that in your hotel room, in your vicinity, wherever you were. You can't allow that. You're trying to get paid, my man. You're trying to get your money. Can you, like, if I'm John Mayer and I see that and I'm like, wait, can I trust you? Like, this goes to trust now. Odell didn't hurt the Giants by doing this. Odell hurt himself.
Right.
He hurt himself, you know, because let's be real about it. You talk about leverage. The Giants own his rights for the next 3 years if they want to. Yeah, they'll be paying him a lot of money.
That's the thing. They're going to be
franchise tags.
Yes.
But listen, Odell at 28 versus Odell at 25, there is some. Now, he's going to make that money in franchise tags, but he doesn't have that, you know, that
security.
Long contract. Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have the security. So he's hurting himself in that aspect. But if I'm John, if I'm John Mayer, I'm saying to myself, all right, I'm closing this checkbook. Any negotiating that we have, we're going to put on hold, because it's now trust. Can I trust this guy with a long-term contract? They own his rights. I don't think they're going to trade him. I don't think that they are going to outright release him or anything like that. I don't think he's going to face any legal trouble through this. But you just have to be smarter. You want to get paid. You talk about, you know, highest paid receiver, highest paid player, you know, changing the way, you know, changing the game in terms of how salaries are negotiated. You want to do all that. Well, you know, if you want to be that, you know, that generational guy like LeBron in basketball, and I don't mean to compare the two, but you want to be LeBron, where it's like LeBron sets the stage. He is the brand, and what he does impacts everything around the league. Well, in order to do that, you got to be on your LeBron behavior. You don't see LeBron came into the NBA at age 18. We've never seen any type of video or pictures or outbursts of him like this. If you want to change the game, you got to be on your best behavior. You got to be a model citizen, a model athlete, and that's how you will create a path for the people that are coming behind you. And for Odell, I just think he's trying too hard right now to live a lifestyle that's not for him. And I'm not sitting here, you know, saying he should change who he hangs out with or his personal life. But man, putting yourself in that situation, you know, where you where you're trying to get paid, you're trying to, you know, get your money, and you cocaine, man, like marijuana is one thing, horrible pizza, you know, we can joke about that, but you putting yourself in that situation where you're on video with somebody that you allegedly just met the night that night, and you, you know, you allow her to have that substance near you, it's bad optics, man. And it's you know, you got to put everything on pause if you're the Giants, because, you know, this is a heavy investment that they're about to make, and there's a lot of things that are still question marks for Odell. Can he control his emotions? Can he be a leader in the locker room? Not just by going out there and, you know, showing his great talents. We know he's talented. I'm on record. I think Odell Beckham is the best receiver in the NFL, and I'm not afraid to say it. But there's other things that come with it. You want quarterback money, or we hold quarterbacks under a microscope. You know, you gotta act, you know, professionally on the field, off the field, and, you know, it's bad optics, man, but I think it's a concern. It's bad. It looks bad on him, man. It looks really, really bad. And
that's,
and, you know, from the Giants, you know, you got to take a step back right now. You got to, you know, say, hold on, Odell, you know, let's slow down. 20 million, 18 million, 19 million, 60 million guaranteed, 70 million guaranteed. Well, we got to hold on for a second here. This is a hefty investment. And if we're getting videos of you in bed with the girl doing cocaine, or, you know, you with the joint or not a joint in your hand, well, that's not a good look for us. We're trying to change the culture. We're trying to establish, you know, an organizational structure here, and we can't have our best player, our, you know, $20 million investment, showing up in clips like this. You know, we got to be, there's got to be trust there. So
that's fine. That's, listen, we agree into up into a certain point. Like, yeah, he's got to be smarter. He's got to put himself in those situations. Yes, the Giants own his rights for the next three seasons if they want to. But fiscally, it doesn't make sense for them to do so. Fiscally, it makes sense for them to extend him long term and in a way that fits their cap, you know, proportionally. Now, one example that I'll bring up for you, who's, and I'll say this right off the bat because I know people are going to jump down my throat here. The contract situation of this player is different because of the nature of this player's position. If you look at Le'Veon Bell, right?
Uh-huh.
He puts out rap songs. He rolls into camp in fashion. He's wearing these enormous gold chains. He got suspended for smoking weed. He's been suspended twice, right?
Right, right.
This man has made Pro Bowls, but he's never won a championship. This is the sort of double standard that we're dealing with when it comes to Odell. Now, Bell...
Well, it's popularity, man.
Sure, Odell's, but that's fine. But whenever people talk about Le'Veon, they never bring up the fact that he was suspended twice, hurting his own team. It's the fact that he is the best running back in the NFL and that he should be paid. The same should go for Odell. It doesn't. And I understand why. And you're right that he needs to be put in those situations. To me, it should not impact his contract negotiations whatsoever. And with the way that the internet works, you know, everyone's got the attention span of 2 seconds. No one's going to remember this during training camp. For Bell, like, you have a guy who has hurt his team multiple times by being suspended and putting himself in even worse situations, right? Right. He was in a car with LeGarrette Blount, who got charged with a DUI. There are way worse situations that he could be putting himself in, and especially if he passes his drug test and, like, proves that he doesn't do drugs, he's not on drugs, and I believe he's smarter to not do drugs, obviously not smart enough to put himself in the situation that we saw him in. I'm sick and tired of the double standard.
Listen, like I said, man, Odell's a megastar. This guy, you know, he's friends with Ronaldo, he's friends with Neymar. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo is probably the most popular athlete in the world. Like, if you rank him, I mean, Messi, Ronaldo, you know, LeBron, I mean,
yeah,
like, he's up there, and Odell is friends with this guy. I mean, Odell is a superstar. He is, you know, if you rank NFL players on popularity, I mean, he is near the top, you know, and he's probably the most popular non-quarterback in this league in the world. But you just got to be smarter, man. You can't put yourself in that position. You're trying to get paid. You talk about maturing. You talk about, you know, being a leader and all this. And, you know, it's bad in a sense for him because it puts a hold on who he's trying to become.
That's fine. You know what I'm saying? I agree. I just think we disagree on where this falls into his contract negotiations. And that's fine.
I think it's the level of how serious it is where we disagree on it.
That's fine. Yeah. Now, taking this a step further, let me pose a question to you.
Yes.
Do you think John Mara and Dave Gettleman should consider trading Odell Beckham Jr.?
No.
Pat Leonard, you dumb son of a bitch. All right, we're going to introduce a new segment on this podcast. It's called Pat Leonard's Replies. You, one of the dumbest motherfuckers I have ever seen. You're a joke. You have the biggest hard-on for Odell in New York. Let's see what else we got here. The biggest cheerleader for the NY Daily News. Pat, you got to reconsider your life and quit writing. How do I block this clown? Can we trade you far away? And that was Pat Leonard's replies. All right, moving on to the next topic. Let's get a little more positive. Unless you have any further thoughts on Odell before we move on.
No thoughts. Just be smarter.
All right. The Alec Ogletree trade. I was skeptical at first until I found out how the money worked out. I am a huge fan of this trade.
You are?
A huge fan, yeah.
Yeah, I know you're a huge fan of it. For me, I'm just... This is the type of question that I can answer better in October.
Okay.
When I see Ogletree play.
I mean, we can say
that. See how he fits in.
Right, that's fair. We could say that about almost any move, though. Let's give preliminary thoughts.
Well, here's the thing. Face value is a team that's desperate for linebacker play, mm-hmm. and they got this athletic linebacker who was an All-Pro in 2016, had a down year in 2017. You know, the question is, if he can play like he played in 2016, then this trade will go down as a good trade. Remember, not only did they give up a fourth and a sixth, but they also carry that long contract.
Sure.
That big contract. Now, what they can do is they can, you know, sort of restructure that contract with a signing bonus can be spread out over,
right,
over
the
next 3 years.
Right, which is why I'm a fan, because I think that's what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, you can lower the cap hit, but, you know, essentially you're just spreading the money out and paying it over a 3-4 year span, whatever remaining on his contract. Now, to me, it comes down to, let me see him on the field. There's talks of him being a great leader. I know you posted some great highlights of him and blitzing a lot, and that's something that new Giants defensive coordinator James Betcher would like to do. Leadership is a big thing. Can he come in and sort of be that leader, that anchor of that defense? But we'll see. But, you know, face value, I'm sort of 50-50 on it. I got to see what happens and see how he performs. But if it's a 2016 version, then I think this would be a great trade for the Giants. But if not, you know, then, you know, we'll have to question this move.
Listen, what I see when I look at this trade, I see they convert that cap hit into a roster bonus and severely minimize that cap hit from 10 to, I think, $4.5 million would be the number, right? So to me, that's a no-brainer. I think they do it. Cap hit, it checks out. I think we also need to go back and recall what our thoughts were on the James Betcher hire when we recorded a few months ago. Right. If we believe that Betcher is the defensive mind that we think he is, and remember, we said on that podcast that if the New York Giants have, you know, a transformative year on the defensive side of the ball, that Betcher is going to be one of the top head coaching candidates available next offseason, right?
Right.
Now, they're converting to a 3-4. Ogletree has been, correct me if I'm wrong, has been consistently an inside linebacker. What I saw when I watched all those highlights was a guy with a lot of speed and a guy who can shed blocks. I would be shocked if Ogletree wasn't used as an outside linebacker a lot and sent in pressure as a middle linebacker a lot. Because we know James Betcher loves to send pressure. The Cardinals had one of the most blitzed defenses all last season. If he is deployed like that, I love it. So he checks out there. He's a leader. The Giants don't really have a leader on the defensive side of the ball. We spoke about the Landon Collins issue last offseason. There you go. They have a leader in the middle of their defense. And four, the price to get him, a fourth and a sixth, to me, chump change. Especially considering how high the Giants are picking this year and where their second-round pick is and where their third-round pick is going to be. And you have to remember that it's a conditional fourth. Not a conditional. The pick they got...
Compensatory.
Compensatory. Thank you. It's a compensatory pick. So they still have a fourth. So I love the trade. I think it's a no-brainer. I think you're plugging a major weakness on the defense. You're getting a guy with experience, leadership, speed, and he's coming over. And listen, he was on the Rams. James Betcher got to watch this guy two times every season. So he knows what he's getting in Alec Ogletree. I think that when they all spoke about it, he said, I know exactly what I'm going to do with this guy. Go out and get him if you can. Boom. I think it's a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, they're desperate for a linebacker. Not only in the short term, but in the long term too.
Why use a high draft pick on one when you know pretty much what you're getting with Ogletree? right? To me, it's like the sure thing versus a taking a chance. Especially if you're gonna, if you're not going to use your second overall on a linebacker, you know, might as well get like a known commodity.
Yeah. My only question that I have with this is, can the salary meet the production?
Right.
That'll be my thing, and if it is, then you know we'll this will be a great trade, and the Giants will be getting a good player.
All right. Moving on, more roster moves. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie.
Yeah.
Adios.
One of my favorite Giants, man.
100%. Man. You know, we're talking about Alec Ogletree and his leadership and being the heart and soul of that defense. Uh-huh. I think that's what DRC was, man. Maybe not necessarily on the field, but that locker room presence is going to be almost irreplaceable, in my opinion. And listen, this was a move that, unfortunately, a lot of us should have seen coming based on the way Gettleman handles aging veterans. Now,
right.
He was asked to switch positions. I think he would have. He was also asked to take a pay cut. Now, we don't know what that pay cut is. I think we can assume that it was a large one, considering the fact that he did not agree to it. Based on the market, I think he's going to get at least what the Giants were supposed to pay him this year, if not more, because there are a lot of teams that could use his service. He's still fast. He's versatile. He could play the slot. He could play outside. To me, I really don't like this move. I think if you look at the depth chart now for the Giants secondary, obviously we still have free agency, we still have the draft, but again, this goes back to the Ogletree thing being a known commodity. You now have Eli Apple coming, who's a head case coming off of a terrible season, and that's pretty much it. You know, you have Jenkins, who's another year older on the other side. You have Darian Thompson, who's another question mark at free safety. The Giants secondary is weak, man. Like, a lot of people think that this team can just bounce back and become a wild card playoff team. This secondary has a lot of question marks.
This is not a win now roster.
Oh, 100%. We'll get into that more later.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Yes, but you make good points. Here's the way I look at it. I think I love DRC. I think he was a great signing by Jerry Reese back in 2014.
100%.
He was asked to do a lot, switch positions. You know, he did do that. I mean, he was a second team All Pro back in 2016, I believe. Had a great, great season. He was one of the better players during those two down years for the defense in 14 and 15. I know a player told me earlier this week when news broke, he sort of told me that, you know, when you were having a down day and you coming into the office, as he said, you know, and whether it's an issue at home or an issue, you know, with the team, you know, you go to DRC, and he was one of the guys you could talk to, and he always related to players well, especially the young guys. So it's going to be a tough spot to fill. He was a good player on the field. He was a leader, you know, in the locker room. But ultimately, look, when you're 3-13 and you're not in good, well, they're not in bad salary cap situation, but they're not in good salary cap space, you got to make some moves. This is going to take a hit on the Giants secondary. You talked about depth. I mean, right now, I mean, outside of Janoris Jenkins, it's a bunch of question marks, and I don't even know if Eli Apple is going to be a Giant once the season comes, but we'll see what they do in free agency. I know they freed up some, I think it was $6 million in cap, but that $6 million six and a half is going to go to finding a replacement for DRC.
And a younger one.
We'll see. And a younger one, indeed, yes. So we'll see what happens. Again, would I have done it? It's tough. I would go back and forth for myself, but
here for me, this boils down to two things, right? I think that the cap hit they would have kept him at would have been reasonable for the production you would have gotten for the player. However, what is going to happen with Dwayne Harris and what is going to happen with Brandon Marshall? Because there's no way that you can let these two back on this roster at their current cap hits. So to me, DRC was just the first domino to fall. I would be shocked if there weren't plenty more cap casualties this offseason. And if it does happen to be, you know, one of those two, both, one of them taking a cut, whatever it may be, and you do have that money, to me it's a shame that DRC ended up being the casualty.
Well, I think, first of all, I think Dwayne Harris has to go. I think John Jerry has to go. I think Brandon Marshall has to go.
I think Marshall's back, by the way.
You think he's back on a reduced salary?
I think that if Gettleman approached him and said, we'll give you the veteran minimum, I think he would stay. I think he's an aging veteran who loves the media, who wants to be involved in the media. And, I mean, that's why he chose the Giants to stay in New York, pretty much. You know, he thought that this team could gear up for a run, but a big part of that was being able to do his media shtick. So I think that if, you know, he were to retire here, I think he would be quite happy with that. So I think he's a guy who would take a severe salary cut. Maybe I'm being naive here. I think he's a guy who would take a big cut to stay with the Giants.
Yeah, I think him living in New York and he's got the TV gig here, I think he would stay. But I just think you gotta get rid of some of these veterans, man. You gotta get younger. If Marshall's willing to come on a very reduced salary, I definitely don't want him back on that $5 million cap hit. But if he's willing to come back on a reduced salary, maybe we could, you know, try to work on something with him. But you know, it's just you got to rebuild, you know, and you got to be smart with your salary cap space. You got to work on, you know, getting some of these young guys in there and seeing what they're made of. You got to start drafting better. So keeping veterans on these, you know, large cap hits, you know, you got to make tough decisions, man. You got to make tough decisions. I think, you know, I put it out earlier. I said, look, if you're asking DRC to take a pay cut, you know, you got to ask your quarterback to take a pay cut too.
Oh, we'll get into that. We'll get into that.
Everybody threw excuses my way, so, but listen, they're 3-13. Okay? They're 3-13.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just bring everyone back. There's got to be some tough decisions. You know, there's got to be people that are going to have to swallow some of their pride and take one for the team, as I say. But I guess people think differently.
Yep. You have post-combine draft as next up on the rundown. Is there anything specifically you wanted to get into?
Yeah, so it was funny. We didn't have a post-combine. It seems like the combine was so long ago. Right?
I know.
Like
it's
forever. But so early on, after everyone heard Gettleman, everyone heard Pat Shurmur talk, everyone came away saying, well, what jersey number is Saquon Barkley going to wear for us? They had him penciled in at the number 2 pick. Yep. You know, is he wearing number 26? Can I get his jersey on Fanatics? NFL Team Shop, where can I get his jersey? I personally think quarterback is still at the top of their, you know, to-do list when it comes to
the draft. I like to think it's all smokescreen.
Yeah, I refuse to believe that this organization, who did everything they could to get Eli Manning back in 04, will sit back and say, you know what? I'm going to take a running back or I'm going to take a guard. I like Quinton Nelson, but for the life of me, I don't understand why people seem to think that taking a guard second overall makes sense.
I'll tell you why. And I don't agree with it, but I'll tell you why.
Go ahead. I think I know what you're going to say.
Zach Martin.
Yeah. You know what I think people are looking at this as? I think people are looking at this NFL draft, this number 2 pick.
Yep.
And looking at it and say, okay, I got the number 2 pick, right? How can I maximize this value, the value of this pick, not for the New York Giants, but for Eli Manning? No, I'm serious.
That's I know you are. That's why I'm laughing. It's sad.
You know, how can I maximize Eli Manning with this pick, but not how can I maximize the value for the Giants?
Can I take it a step further?
Sure.
How can they maximize it for next year and not the next 5 years?
Exactly. Because they're looking at this pick and saying, I want this number 2 pick to come in week 1.
Yep.
You know, and be Pro Bowl from the start. That's what they're looking at.
Yeah. And listen, that can happen if you don't take a quarterback.
Right. You take Nelson, you take
Barkley.
You take Barkley. But let's think 5 years down the line when a quarterback they passed up on is, you know, playing lights out. The team is in playoff contention, you know, found their franchise guy. And all the Giants got is, you know, quarterback hell and an all-pro guard.
It makes no sense. So if you look at how people are thinking about this, right? These people look around the league and they say, wow, the Eagles are so good. Man, look at the transformation the Rams underwent in 1 year with Sean McVay. They look at all of these teams and then they don't apply the same logic to the New York Giants. If the New York Giants were to take a quarterback, number 2 overall, right? be it Rosen, be it Mayfield, whoever it is, I don't, any quarterback, just for the sake of this argument, right? You have one more
any
year.
Any quarterback they like.
Any quarterback they like, just not Josh Allen, but any quarterback they like. And they, right? You can turn yourself into the Eagles and the Rams in 3 years, okay?
Right.
But you can't do that if you don't take a quarterback right now. You need to be able to take a quarterback, have that quarterback come in year two with learning under Eli Manning for a year, having Pat Shurmur mold this guy into his quarterback, and then being able to take that quarterback on his rookie contract and surround him with the necessary talent to make multiple Super Bowl runs. Because that's exactly what the Eagles did. That's exactly what the Rams did. They can afford to go out there and surround all these pieces that they need, right? The whole point of free agency is, wow, you know, we missed on the on this position in the draft. Let me go out there and get the best available guy for that position to plug that hole. They're not going to be able to do that if they skip on a quarterback. Look at the Bills. People just don't, they don't understand. The Bills last year had a chance to get Patrick Mahomes, who will be starting for the Kansas City Chiefs this year. They had a chance to get Deshaun Watson, who had a phenomenal rookie year until he tore his ACL. Now look at where the Bills are. The Bills are in hell. The Bills are desperately trying to trade players, trade picks, move up to take a quarterback.
And what are they trading? And what are they trading?
They're trading left tackles.
All pro offensive linemen.
They're trading left tackles, Weiss. They're trading left tackles to move up to select one of these quarterbacks that the Giants can take at number two. Why in 2 years, once Eli Manning's washed up and his $20 million isn't on the cap anymore, why then are you going to want to take your chance? And in a quarterback class, we don't know. This quarterback class, we know that there is going to be some franchise guys. Why do you want to risk not getting one right now? It makes no sense. The Bills are going to mortgage their future draft picks to take a chance at getting one of these guys. A chance. The Giants can take one right now.
The quarterback position is the most important position in football. I know the New York Giants offensive line isn't great right now. I know it probably won't be in 2018. But that doesn't mean that you sit there and say, I can't take this quarterback or I can't take, you know, that quarterback because I need to have an offensive line in place. You know,
let me pose a scenario to you.
Yes.
Now, we'll get into this a little bit. I'm actually not a huge fan of how much we're going to be paying Norwell, because make no mistake about it, he won't be a New York Giant. Mark my words.
The you Giants, don't think he's going to get signed by the Giants?
No, I do. I do think he's going to be signed by the Giants.
Oh, you are? Okay.
I'm just saying I'm not a huge fan of the fact that we're going to have to pay a guard $13 million, but I digress.
I am. Do you know why? Can I say why I think it's good?
Okay, let's talk Norwell right now then.
All right, yeah. Because Norwell is the best of the best. He's an all-pro.
That's fine.
You know, he's an A player on the market. You got to give him a contract. He sets the market. He's an all-pro. That's why I think this is not Olivier Vernon. This isn't a B player getting an A contract. This is an A player getting an A contract. So that's my opinion.
Now, my counterargument to that is we trashed Gettleman's drafts, right? They're not good. When he was in Carolina, he had bad drafts.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that people praised this guy for and that we liked about him, there was not much that we liked about him at the time of the Giants bringing Gettleman back on board, was that he had the ability to find these diamond-in-the-rough offensive linemen. If he's so good at that, why are we giving a guard $13 million instead of looking for these guys in the draft, in undrafted free agency, if this team is not a contender right now? Now, I understand that Norwell will still be in his prime 2 or 3 years from now. To me, it's just a lot of money to lock up in that one position. Now, assuming that this is a given, let me get back to my original scenario for you, right?
Right.
We don't know what's going to happen with Justin Pugh. So let's say the Giants take a quarterback second overall.
Right.
Let's say that Brett Jones comes in, wins the center job. Norwell comes in, he is the guard. So we have two of the five starting positions locked in right now. We have Jalapio got re-signed. We don't know what else is going to happen in free agency. Right now we're just going.
Let's say Jalapio and Dan Greco fight for that, you know, that right guard spot.
Fine.
Let's say that happens.
Even better for my scenario, right?
Right.
They take the best available quarterback, whoever they evaluate as being the best available quarterback at number two. They have Norwell, they have Brett Jones, and then they either have Greco or Jalapio starting at the other guard position.
Right.
The Giants' second-round pick, it might as well be a first-round pick with how high it is. They take the best available tackle, right? I think Hernandez translates to a guard, but I know Orlando Brown, his draft stock has been falling a little bit. He might wind up in the second round. And they
He's awful. He might fall to like the third or fourth round.
Sure.
And he was awful.
They can get a starting caliber tackle with that second pick. So now you have your starting quarterback for the next, maybe not this coming season, but for the four seasons after that, at least. You have Norwell on a five-year contract. You have Brett Jones on the cheap. You have Greco Jalapio on the cheap. You have a tackle on a rookie contract who's not named Eric Flowers. And then you go and you fill these other holes in other drafts and other rounds in free agency, right? There are a lot of aspects about the current Giants team that are not going to be quick fixes. And even this isn't a quick fix. But relatively speaking, they could have a very good offensive line in two or three seasons when this quarterback, who they pick at number two, is going to be taking the reins. So, like, going back to your point, enough of saying, why draft a quarterback if we don't have a line? Why not both? Why not do both at the same time? Because they can do it, and that's what they should do.
I mean, the Eagles' offensive line wasn't so great when they got Wentz. I mean, they had issues on the line. Yes, they had Jason Peters at left tackle. Yes, they had Kelsey, who, by the way, wasn't that good. Yes, they had Lane Johnson.
Yeah, Kelsey broke out.
Lane Johnson was suspended for 10 games during Carson Wentz's rookie season. So, and people bring up the Cowboys, but the Cowboys, you know, were gifted Dak Prescott into their hands. And even their offensive line, and even in the Cowboys offense, that great offensive line couldn't keep Tony Romo from not getting injured.
Right.
So, this is apples to oranges. It's not a matter of you have to fix this in order to get this. Quarterback is the number one position in the NFL. There's a reason that they're the highest paid players. There's a reason why they always go at the top of the draft, either one, two, or three. There's a reason for that. You know?
Yeah. It's the most valuable position.
Quarterback. You have to get your quarterback, and you have to stop looking at this draft just about 2018. Don't tell me there's not more than one franchise quarterback in this draft. Don't tell me that, because you're lying.
Don't tell me, oh, we can trade back and still get Lamar Jackson. You don't know that. What you do know is you're going to get one of these four really good quarterbacks, not Josh Allen, at the number two pick. That's what you're going to get. It's a lock. It's a guarantee. Don't risk it trading back.
And here's the thing about trading back. Let's say the Giants trade back, right? Let's say they add a first-round pick into next year and a couple of mid-round picks into next year, and they get this haul, right?
Yep.
Let's say they go, 7-9, whatever, into next year.
Sure.
Well, Eli is, 30, will be 38, right? Yep. Final year of his deal. We still don't know what Davis Webb is, you know, right? And they're like a quarterback in that draft, but they're picking 13, 14.
Exactly. You're going to need to trade up.
Then all that haul that you got, that big assets that you got back, that's what you're going to have to do.
Trade.
You have to give it right back and move back in. This 3-13 season was a blessing in disguise for the Giants, because it allowed them to sort of hit that reset button at their quarterback spot. And people constantly bring up Davis Webb to me, and it's just...
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I like Davis Webb. I think Davis Webb is like a good guy. He has a good work ethic. He works hard. I'm not here to knock the guy. I just don't know what he is on the field. I don't know. I mean, they were going to play him, then they decided not to play him. You know what? This is the funniest thing I thought about.
Dude couldn't beat Geno today. Smith to be active.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Active. We're talking active, Weiss.
Saquon Barkley's a beast, right?
Amazing player.
People tell me,
unbelievable player.
I mean, he's going to be a great running back in the league, right? People tell me, they say, well, we need a running back more than a quarterback. We have Eli Manning. We have Davis Webb, right?
Yeah.
And I say, okay, but the draft isn't about just, you know, this year. It's about, you know, we give them the whole 411 about what the draft is about. You know, we're having an opinionated discussion, right? You know, it's a debate. And then he says, well, Davis Webb can be a great player. And, you know, they send me these links to his agent tweeting out videos of him throwing footballs in shorts and with no defense. And it's like, okay, well, you're basing the fact that you don't need a quarterback on that. Well, Wayne Gallman averaged 4 yards a carry against with the New York Giants offensive line. So you're going to tell me running back is more of a need than a quarterback, and your basis of that is that you got evidence of Davis Webb throwing in shorts? Well, my basis that we need a quarterback more than a running back is the fact that Wayne Gallman averaged 4 yards per carry. Now, even though that's both – it's a ludicrous thing to say that I'm not taking Saquon Barkley because I have Wayne Gallman, well, it's just as crazy to say I'm not taking one of these quarterbacks because I have Davis Webb. You know what I mean?
Here's one of the most annoying arguments, and it's something that we both praised Shermer for, and it really came back to bite us in the ass. It's that this guy can take the most blech quarterbacks and get the most out of them. And you know what? That may be true. But if you ask Pat Shermer, does he prefer Davis Webb or the next coming of Eli Manning? He's going to take the next coming of Eli Manning. This isn't like he might be able to turn Davis Webb into something, or he can take one of the most highly touted quarterback prospects in the draft, right? Look at where Davis Webb was projected last year. There were people who thought he could go in the middle of the second round, or people thought he could go undrafted. That's how differing the opinions on Davis Webb were. There is not a single person that thinks Baker Mayfield or Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold isn't worthy of a first-round grade. So you know these quarterbacks have the tools. Why not let him work with the quarterback that has the better tools? It's crazy.
And everyone brings up, oh, well, they got concerns. Well, there's a reason why the Giants are paying all these people a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because they have to decide whether these red flags are something to scare them off or something worth taking. But you have to be honest with yourself. Like I always tell, like I tell people throughout this whole weekend, we have to be honest with ourselves about our favorite team. Enough with the scotch tape.
We're closer to the Browns than we are the Patriots.
Exactly. We're this team right now. I would be shocked if this team finishes with a record above 500. I would be shocked.
Now, I think I think they're like a 7-9, 8-8 team. No.
Here's what I tell people. What was their record in 2016? 11-5, right?
I think that was a fluke. Well, and I think we were both fooled by it.
Right. They were 11-5 in 2016, right? What were they in last year? 3-13, right?
Yeah, so average that out.
Combine that's 14-18.
Yep.
You know, do your math, that's 7-9.
Yep.
They're a 7-9 team. That's what they are right now.
Yeah.
They are, I believe they're 12 games below 500 since 2012.
Yeah.
Enough with the scotch tape. Enough with that, man. We're in position to grab the quarterback. You cannot. Yes, you can try to, rebuild on the fly because you can get a year out of Eli Manning. You can try to be competitive. But the number two pick has to be about what's best for the New York Giants long term, not what's best for Eli Manning.
100%.
Let's close this section of our podcast on that. The number two pick is about what's best for the Giants long term, and not what's best for Eli Manning.
Now let's talk. We both agree. Number two is a quarterback.
Has to be a quarterback.
If Gettleman trades back, I don't think he will. I don't think he should.
Right.
If he trades back, what sort of haul are we looking at?
I mean, it depends how far you're going. I wouldn't go out of the top 10.
Correct.
I wouldn't go out of the top 10. But if it's, Buffalo is the hot team right now. I think they went to, 12?
Yep.
If they can, I don't think Buffalo's looking to go, up to 2. Like, I don't think – people says Josh Rosen. I don't think they're in on Josh Rosen. I think they're in on Josh Allen.
That would be very Buffalo of them. But, I think that if they were to trade the 12th, the 22nd, and next year's first, I think they could definitely make their way into the top 5 if they're that desperate. But again,
I think the Colts are the team right now they're targeting to trade up because I think they want to get. I think you know what the domino that's going to fall that's going to affect a lot of this.
Angelo's health. Cousins. Okay, or that.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins. Let's say Kirk Cousins goes to Denver, then
Jets,
or the Jets or Denver. If you're Buffalo, you're saying to yourself, well, okay, I know I don't have to worry about those two teams,
exactly.
One of those two teams. So now, okay, how can I maneuver? So I think it's not a foregone conclusion that they have to go up to 2 or 3 or whatever. But I think that it depends on who they like. But I think they'll try to go up to 3, You know, let's see if they can try to get into the top 10 first, because I think before we get into where they can go in the top three, they have to get into the top 10 first. So I want to wait and see what happens with Cousins and some of these other quarterbacks.
That's a really good point you bring up about Cousins, though.
Yeah.
Because if he goes to Minnesota, then not a lot changes for the Bills.
Well, if he goes to Minnesota, then you got Denver,
yep.
You got the New York Jets, and you got the Miami Dolphins.
Uh-huh.
At those three teams eyeing, you know, one of those four quarterbacks, or the one of the five quarterbacks, whether it's, you know, Darnold, Rosen, Allen, Mayfield, Jackson. Because I think what's shaping out right now, when I just look at it, is I think five quarterbacks are going to go in the top 15.
100%.
I have a hard time believing Lamar Jackson gets past 15.
That's what I don't understand about people, Weiss, is that these people think that the Giants can, that Lamar Jackson is going to magically fall to the second round and the Giants can get them with the 34th pick. That's lunacy. Lamar Jackson is going in the first round, 100%. I would be shocked if he fell outside the top 15. I would be shocked. Absolutely shocked.
He's going in the top 15. Because now Miami's in the market for a quarterback.
Yeah.
We know Buffalo is. And you got Kirk Cousins. You got one Kirk Cousins, right? Let's say he goes to Denver. Or let's say he goes to the New York Jets, right? Well, Denver wants a quarterback. Miami wants a quarterback. Buffalo wants a quarterback. Arizona wants a quarterback. This is a quarterback-hungry league.
Yeah.
Their teams are desperate. And people want to
The Browns
trade
might
out.
Take one. The Giants could take one. The Browns might take one. The Browns have two picks inside the top five. I'd be shocked if they didn't use at least one on a quarterback.
If I'm the Browns, you know what I'm hoping for?
All
right. I'm hoping for, okay, I take Darnold, right? Number two, Giants take a quarterback. Number three, someone trades with Indy.
And then they get Barkley at four.
And then they get Barkley or Chubb at four.
Yep.
And it allows them to take not only what they think is the best quarterback in the draft, but maybe the best overall player in the draft too, which in my opinion would be home run for the Cleveland Browns.
I can't believe we're talking about the Cleveland Browns in a positive manner in 2018. What a year. Anything else before we get to questions?
I got nothing else for you, my man.
All right. This is a question from our boy Chan. If Norwell goes to the 49ers, what do you think happens to the line? If Norwell goes to the 49ers, doo-doo happens to the line. I think they're basically forced to overpay Pugh.
Yeah, I think Justin Pugh will be the fallback option. I also think they could look at Josh Sitton.
Yep.
I just hope that they don't
trade for Juwan James.
No. I mean, I wouldn't mind that. Like, I mean, I don't think he's tradable right now. I just hope they don't panic and then take a guard with the number two pick.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
I hope that doesn't happen.
His other question: is there a draft watching party in New York City? I did mention that a while ago. I know you wouldn't be able to make it, but I'm going to look into setting that up to see if we get some listeners who actually want to go and watch the draft.
Man, you're going to have to get security, because I think half the people are going to be...
It's going
to
be a brawl.
Quarterback. Yeah. And the other half is going to be Nelson, Barkley, and trade back and all that.
We should just settle the Giants draft pick with a game of beer pong. Whichever side wins is whoever they take.
I can't wait for draft night, because either way, there's going to be a part of the fan base that's going to be really...
Dude, it's going to be crazy.
Yes.
What do you think about taking a kicker with the second pick in the draft? Haha. This is a funny one. Will the Giants retire Mark Herzog's number? Have they found out what blackmail material he has on John Mara? What? All right. I need your thoughts on the Herzog signing, because a lot of people are telling me to just shut up and relax and that it's not a big deal. To me, this isn't about like money. It's about the fact that, okay, this guy is not a good linebacker and was part of one of the worst special teams units in the league. What does he bring to the team at this point in his career that you're not willing to try out another like random undrafted linebacker?
I don't know. I thought he'd be gone after 2016?
Yeah.
I mean, he had a neck injury. He's like 30 years old. I don't know, man. I don't know. There's just certain things that people get so attached to that does like, it's like, it's about improving the team, not about, you know, he has a great personality and he, I mean, come on.
Enough.
I mean, listen, Herzlick is a great story. I mean, you know, like, you don't want to, you know, shit on his parade, but I mean, come on, man. Like, what does he bring to the table?
It's crazy.
Like, I want to know. He ain't a good linebacker. I mean, listen, if he's playing linebacker for the Giants, listen, God bless, you know. If he's playing linebacker for the Giants and you think the Giants should go all in, I mean,
yeah, Crazy. All right. Play devil's advocate and give reasons to not take a quarterback at number two if you can find any.
Too many red flags. You know,
Darnold. Eli Manning turnovers. Finds the fountain of youth.
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of the four prospects, you know, you don't like Mayfield's character.
If you think Mason Rudolph is a player.
Yeah, I'm. Listen, you think Mayfield's character is an issue? Rosen's injury concerns you. Darnold is taken, you know, and you don't like Josh Allen's, you know, inaccurate passes, and you're just not in the mood, or you know, you're not liking one of these quarterbacks, and you don't take them. But Mason Rudolph is an interesting thing. I won't be surprised if Mason Rudolph doesn't go in the first round.
Yeah, I think, dude, there's just so many quarterbacks this year. Holy crap.
Like, people think, like, oh, if this team signs Case Keenum, they won't be in the market for a quarterback. No, that's not how it's going to work. It's
not the case at all.
I wouldn't even rule out the Jacksonville Jaguars taking a quarterback in the first round.
I might rule that out, but...
Or the New Orleans Saints.
Saints I could see. Which, by the way, I don't know if you saw this. Apparently, like, there's, like, outside interest in Drew Brees, which is crazy. I mean, he's going to be a Saint, but the fact
there that people think... There should be. I mean, if I'm a team, if I'm the Vikings right now, right?
Dude, yeah.
I'm on Drew Brees' driveway saying, Drew, whenever you're ready, I have this contract ready for you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm knocking on his door.
Pay the shit out of him. Let's see. What else? What else? Okay, this is a good one. Grade so far on Gettleman. Do you trust him to draft sign good corners, considering his tenure in Carolina? He didn't draft Norman, by the way. Yes. This is tough, man. My grade on Gettleman so far... I'll give him a B-. I think there's just so much more left, right? Like, I like the Ogletree thing. I didn't like the DRC thing. We have no idea what he's going to do with the second overall pick. We don't know if he's going to land Norwell. Like, there's just so much that still needs to happen. Yeah, I'll give him a B-- so far, you know? I like the Shermer hire.
Yeah, I'm B-. The Shermer hire, I put more on John Merritt because he's a guy that sort of has final say. I mean... but yeah, B-. I'm with you. You know, C+, B-, B. Yeah, that's where I'm at. But the number one thing about Gettleman, in my opinion, is going to be that number two pick. That's going to write his legacy for me.
Here's a question we sort of were just discussing. If we take Barkley at two, how do you feel about Rudolph at 34? I can't say I hate it. I don't see Rudolph lasting that long. That's tough. That's the problem that we have when we discuss the number two overall pick. And people give us a scenario, okay, well, what if they don't take this quarterback? The beauty of picking at two is that you know for a fact that there are going to be guys there. If you take Barkley at two, you are risking not being able to take another quarterback even at pick 34.
Well, here's the thing. Let's say they take Barkley at two and they like Mason Rudolph and think they can get him in the second, right?
Yep.
And let's say those teams that could probably take a quarterback in the first round, you know, let's say they don't take a quarterback, right? And let's say pick 30, 31, 32 comes around and, you know, people are like, wait, do the Giants like Mason Rudolph? You know, word starts to get out that they do. Do one of those teams picking in the second that also didn't take a quarterback, let's say Jacksonville or New Orleans or maybe the Cincinnati Bengals or somebody like that, maybe they're on the phone saying, well, let's trade up and let's get back in the first, sort of like what Minnesota did with Teddy Bridgewater. Remember that back in 14? Yep. Let's get him in the first, or let's jump the Giants again. Like, we can't keep getting cute with this thing. You know, like,
yeah.
I know, if, you know, Mason Rudolph, if you know, he's not worthy of the number two pick. If you trade back, could he potentially be in play late in the first round? Yes. But this hypothetical is about what the Giants can do at 34. It's just hard to answer because the NFL draft is so crazy where, you know, so much shit can happen, you know, that you just don't know. You can't. Ideally, yeah, that would be a good – I mean, the thing with Saquon is you can't be angry if your team takes Saquon Barkley, right? Like, you can't be angry about that. Like, I'll be angry if we take Nelson in this, with the number two pick. I'll be – I don't care if he's an all-pro every year he's in the league. That's just not, in my opinion, maximizing the value of the pick.
Yeah.
But with Saquon is, you know, he's a, you know, generational guy. He's a this great running back. But I have to know that none of these quarterbacks that we're passing up on
are going to be franchise guys.
Yeah, like I had like that. That'll worry me. Like I don't care if Barkley rushes for 1,000 yards every year for the next 5 years. You know, yeah, if they win the Super Bowl, I'll be happy about that. But I don't think they're winning a Super Bowl realistically in the next 2 years. Certainly not with Eli Manning in the remaining of his career. I don't think they can build that roster good enough for Eli to, you know, sort of take them there. But so I'll be – if they take Barkley, I'll be happy. It's a great player, you know, but you're worried about, okay, did we just pass on a franchise quarterback?
Exactly.
And that's what we'll be worrying about for the next years to come. And ultimately, if it does come down to that, then we're fucked. You know?
Let's end on this because we're coming up on an hour and I realize we sort of skipped over this. Why Eli Manning should take a pay cut. Now, for me, there are two scenarios here and it sort of, it makes sense for Eli to take a pay cut. Now, will he take a pay cut? Probably not. Now, here's my rationale. Eli Manning is coming off of a bad season. The Giants are picking number two in a quarterback heavy class. Eli Manning can be cut after this season at way less of a, you know, cap hit than he can right now. Eli Manning's on the roster for this year 100%. Now, this could be Eli's last year as a Giant. We know he wants to retire a Giant, and if they take a quarterback number two and he has another bad season, I think they basically say, thanks, but we're done with you. Please just say that you're retiring. Otherwise, we're going to cut you. So just retire a Giant. We'll honor you. People will love you. Two-time Super Bowl winner, two-time Super Bowl MVP. The works, etc. Now, if Eli Manning doesn't take a cap, take a cut this year, the Giants are cap strapped to put the necessary talent around him to make a run this year, which would be Eli's final run. Now, if he does take the cap hit, or the pay cut rather, and he allows the New York Giants to surround him with the talent for him to be successful, because remember, we did talk at the end of last season and the beginning of this offseason. We do think that there are scenarios in which Eli Manning can be a winning quarterback again in this league. But he's going to require a lot of help. And that help is going to come with the salary relief that he could provide by taking a pay cut. Now, this is the road that he's going down right now, is not taking a pay cut. The Giants finished 7-9, and they have this young quarterback waiting in the wings, and they say, hey, Eli, we love you, but it's time to go. The only chance that Eli Manning has to extend his career beyond just this next season is to take a pay cut and allow Dave Gettleman to surround him with the necessary talent to prove that he still has it. And that's my take.
Yeah, yeah. And my take is very similar to yours, and I won't try to extend this thing. Sure. Here's the lead on it. I think Eli Manning is still a capable quarterback in this league. But I think for Eli Manning at age 37 to be very successful – very successful as in have you competing in the playoffs and for a Super Bowl, he's got to have a lot of things perfect around him. Good run, strong running game.
Good offensive line.
Great offensive line. Yep. Great receivers. Strong defense. Coaching. He's going to need to have all that, right? I don't think the Giants can do that next year. I don't think the Giants can do it in the next 2 years. But let's say, you know, he takes a pay cut, right? And he says, you know what? You know, his cap, it's 22. Let's say they can bring it down by $6 million, you know, by $5 million, bring it down under 20. That'll give them some more money so that they can go out, they can get, you know, they can be in the market to trade for a tackle. Maybe there's a tackle they really like, they want to trade for him. Maybe there's a linebacker that they like, they can trade for another linebacker. Maybe they can do things with that money so that not only that it's best for them long-term, but they can help him short-term over the next 2 years.
Right.
Do I think he will do it? No. Do I think they'll approach him? No. But this notion that, no, Eli's fine, he doesn't need to do anything. Well, yes, he does. He's not lived up to his contract. Look at his QBR under pressure. What has made Eli Manning such a great quarterback? His ability to work under pressure, step up, make throws. I understand, you know, it's not all his fault. And we're not sitting here saying it's all Eli Manning's fault. But the reality of the situation is, Andrew Noel is one guy. He's not five guys.
Right. It's You're making the good points. Listen.
Yeah, he's one guy. They're still going to have question marks on the offensive line in terms of the tackle position. They're still going to have question marks on the defense at corner now and at linebacker. we don't know what's going to, I mean, well, we know Odell's going to be there, but Odell wants a new contract. You know, the running game is not strong. It's a rookie head coach. It's a new, people forget that. It's a new offense. You know, like,
yeah,
this is a new offense. You know, like, remember when
the Eli third first in started with Eli's last 4 years?
Yeah, do you remember when he started the Ben McAdoo offense? I mean, it was a very simple offense, but it took a while for them to get going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Early on, it wasn't good. Remember those preseason struggles with the new offense? My point is that there's so much new things and moving parts that for people to just think that, you know, we can do it and we can string together. Look, there's nothing more that I would like than to be completely wrong.
Yeah.
And say Eli Manning is going to lead us to a new Super Bowl. But you have to be real with yourself. We have to be realistic. Nate Solder is the best left tackle on the market. Nate Solder is about to make $13 to $14 million a year.
Let me okay? pose this to you.
Yeah.
Eli takes the pay cut. Now all of a sudden they can afford to re-sign Justin Pugh. Now they have Norwell Pugh and a capable center in Brett Jones. They use their 34th pick overall on a starting guard. Now you have four picks.
Yeah.
Four pieces.
Not even 34. Let's say they use the third or let's say they find a guy like if Eli Manning taking a pay cut means that they can secure a position on their offensive line long term, wouldn't people want that?
Yeah. Wouldn't Eli want that?
Exactly. So we're not here shitting on Eli Manning. We both love Eli Manning. We both admire what he has done, right? But
take the
49ers got rid of Joe Montana. The Colts got rid of Peyton Manning. You know, this is a common thing in the NFL. Shit like this happens, man. Like, you're only as good as until you're not, you know?
Father Time's undefeated.
Exactly. You know, this is a 37-year-old declining quarterback, all right? You can say what you want about just get him an offensive line. Well, they can't get him an offensive line. It's impossible
unless he takes a pay cut.
Yeah, I mean, unless he – and even if he takes a pay cut, that'll get a max one starter. They're still going to have another hole or two on the offensive line. Maybe Pugh can play left tackle, right?
Right.
And you got Norwell playing guard, right? Well, Brett Jones playing center, you know, and you still have the right side as a question mark. You know, there's no guarantee that Jalapio and Greco are going to be solid starters. You still don't have a right tackle. So that question should be asked. You know, should Eli and the Giants sit down and say, let's rework this contract. You know, let's try to lower your cap number. That's not disrespecting to Eli Manning.
No, that's trying to surround him with the pieces.
Let's try to do everything we can to rebuild on the fly, right? You know, that's what this is about. So I posed the question. I know you brought it up as well. You know, obviously there's Eli fanatics out there who all they care about is Eli's feelings more than you know, what's better for the team. And so my opinion is my opinion, man. I want to be real about it. Enough with the scotch tape, you know, on major holes. This organization needs an overhaul with their roster, and I completely understand why they brought back Eli Manning. Quite frankly, I think they hired Dave Gettleman because he wanted to bring back Eli Manning.
Agree.
I think if this was still Jerry Reese, I think Jerry Reese would have got rid of Eli Manning after last year.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. But you brought him back. I know that his contract would not have freed up a lot of cap space. He would carry that dead cap money. But he's 37. And he ain't going backwards. He's going forward. So we have to be real with ourselves and real about the state of this organization.
That's it.
That's it.
NYG Weekly. We're done. We're wrapping up. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss, NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. Hit that motherfucking subscribe button. Thank you for listening, and we'll speak to you guys next week.
Peace.